So, when I talk about cerebellum, I go to the hindbrain part. The cerebellum is located, as you know, in relation to the occipital bone. The cerebellum has two cerebellar hemispheres, which are connected in the center. So, like all other organs, we will have a superior surface and an inferior surface. The cerebellar hemispheres has three fissures, and this will divide the cerebellum into certain more areas. Now, why do we need cerebellum? Cerebellum has certain functions, and these functions are most important for coordinated activity, for our eye movement. Overall, it's the coordination which matters, which comes through cerebellum. Furthermore, till now you have read about certain nuclei, certain pathways, certain nerves. But cerebellum is an organ which is primitive in origin, and therefore the functional aspect of cerebellum is related to its evolution. Therefore, we can say that the oldest cerebellum is the archicerebellum, in between is the paleocerebellum, and then is the neocerebellum. So, as the name suggests, archi is like the old part, the oldest part. Paleo is the, you can think of the Stone Age types, and then neo is definitely new. Now, this is true not only for the cerebellar parts, but also for the cerebellar nuclei. So, now what I want you to look at the PPTs. Now, when you look at the PPTs, I will relate each part of the PPT as I go on speaking. Therefore, I expect you to first go through all my PPTs, and then you concentrate on what I am relating to each PPT of mine. I would love if you have two things side by side, that's the mobile as well as the laptop, because your PPTs are on the laptop. And as I am telling, this podcast will be on your mobile. So, I'll start from PPT number 2 and I will take you through all my PPTs. So, now we will start. So, first let us close now and then we will open the PPTs and then we will start. Bye. So, I am here to add to the brainstem which has just been posted today. So, my dear students, when you see the brainstem, you all know that the brainstem is composed of midbrain, pons and medulla. So, automatically you know there will be some nerves, some pathways, some reflex centers and nuclei. Now, as sir has posted the midbrain today, I would like you to take to PPT number 3. So, when you see this PowerPoint 3, you will see that a very surprising thing is the midbrain is the smallest portion of the brain stem. Therefore, when we start with the brain stem from craniocaudal direction, it will be midbrain, pons and medulla. Now, we will see that it has the cerebral aqueduct of Sylvius. Now, this will be very important once we do the ventricles, because there will be flow of CSF. So, you know that from your physiology knowledge how the CSF flows. But when you take the midbrain in hand, you will know that there is aqueduct of Sylvius which is connecting the third ventricle with the fourth ventricle. So, when we do the ventricular system, I will start with the fourth ventricle, then we will have third and lateral ventricles. You will see how beautifully the CSF passes. Now, coming to the next PowerPoint, that's the location. So, you now know that cranial to the pons, you will get the between the pons caudali and the diencephalon above. So I said craniocaudal direction is the midbrain, pons and medulla. Now when we talk about diencephalon, this is yet to be discussed, because it will include the thalamus, the hypothalamus, the epithalamus and the subthalamus, out of which you are required to know about the thalamus and the hypothalamus in detail. Going to the next slide, that is, the midbrain has a ventral surface and a dorsal surface. So when we see the ventral surface of the midbrain, in this I would like you to go back to the slide number 3. So when you see the slide number 3, you will see the ventral surface of the midbrain, which is adjacent to the pons, and the dorsal surface of the midbrain, and you can see the rhomboid structure in the center, which is in the pontine region. Above is the midbrain and caudally is the medulla. So now you know how beautiful the ventral and the dorsal surface differs. Let us go back to the slide again. So you can see that optic tracts wind around the midbrain at its junction with the diencephalon. So I would like you to again go back to PPT 3 and see that the blue anteriorly is the anterior to midbrain is the optic tract. Therefore, you can now see the location of the optic tract. Let us go back to the midbrain again, the ventral view. The ventral surface shows two cerebral peduncles and the interpeduncular fossa. Now, I will again take you to the midbrain, the ventral surface, where you can see the labeling done in the PPT number 3. The labeling done is the midbrain, and in between there is a V-shaped structure which is holding the interpeduncular fossa. Now going back again to the 5th slide, you can see that the oculomotor nerve emerges from the medial surface of the peduncle, and the trochlear nerve passes between the peduncle and the uncus. For the time being, let us not think of the uncus, but let us remember that the nerves which are in relation to the ventral surface of the midbrain are the optic, oculomotor and trochlear, because this is what is most important. And further more important is the optic tract, which is at the junction with the diencephalon, which you have seen in PowerPoint number 3, and laterally along the peduncles you can identify the oculomotor and the trochlear nerve. Now in this context, I would like my students to remember the number of these each nerve, number of nerves and the names of individual nerves, because in many cases we find that students cannot name the nerves properly, which gives a bad impression to the examiner. Now coming to the next PPT, where you can see the location of the interpeduncular fossa, and you can see beautifully the cerebral peduncle, and you can also see the location of uncus. So between the uncus and the cerebral peduncle, you can see that the uncus and the cerebral peduncle, you can see that the trochlear nerve is located. Therefore, you are now rather confident, I'm sure, that in this diagram you can identify the interpeduncular fossa, the uncus and the cerebral peduncles. Now, my dear students, I would like you to practice this diagram of the midbrain, pons and medulla. This is my repeated request. Now see, going to the next PPT, which is labeled as B, you can see how beautifully the trochlear nerve is coming out, And now here you will be able to see, this is, I'm sure you are able to identify that the anterior and the posterior part of the brain stem. So this is the dorsal surface of the brain stem. Now when I do the fourth ventricle with you, this will be more discussed, this will be better discussed in detail. Now I will take you to the, again to the ventral surface of the midbrain, the next PPT. Now this, in this PPT you will see that the ventral surface of midbrain has the optic chiasma anteriorly, and then you get two round bodies, large yellow round bodies, which are the mammillary bodies, then the interpeduncular fossa, and you can see by the side of it the oculomotor and the trochlear nerve. So the yellow big structure on either side is the crus cerebri of the cerebral peduncle. Then you get the interpeduncular fossa. Then you can see the oculomotor nerve, and then you can see the trochlear nerve. Now this diagram is a must for practice, because why is, you can see the three nerves here, the optic chiasma, the oculomotor and the trochlear. You can see the crus cerebri, and also you can see the interpeduncular fossa. Now coming to the next PPT, which is the ventral view again. See, we are repeating each PPT because this will give you a better knowledge about the ventral and the dorsal surface. Because now in this period you cannot handle the organ. Therefore, it is for your convenience that if you, as you are reading, as you can listen to my podcast, you will be basically practicing the diagram. So how do you start? You will start from anterior to, that is cranial to caudal. Let us, for this session of mine, I am just concentrating on the midbrain. So you can see the optic chiasma, you can see the infundibulum, you can see mammillary body, you can see the oculomotor nerve, trochlear nerve, stop. So by the side you can see the crus cerebri and you can see the interpeduncular fossa. Now coming to the dorsal surface of midbrain, which is again a must for your diagram practice. That is, you can see the superior colliculus, you can see the inferior colliculus, you can see the superior brachium, you can see the inferior brachium, the crus cerebri, and therefore you can see that superior brachium is being connected to lateral geniculate body, and the inferior brachium is connected to medial geniculate body. Now this is very important, because for the time being remember that there are two geniculate bodies. One is the lateral connected to superior brachium, the other is the medial, which is connected to the inferior brachium. This again is a diagram for your practice, because this is giving a picture of the dorsal surface of the midbrain. Now coming to the word tectum. Now tectum is the dorsal part of the midbrain. So tectum is nothing but the part which you can see in the slide, which says dorsal surface of midbrain. Now what do you see here? So here you can see the superior inferior colliculi, you can see the superior inferior brachium, which will be connected to the lateral and medial geniculate bodies. Therefore, what is this tectum? Tectum is defined as nothing but the dorsal surface of the midbrain, which has actually the content of the superior inferior colliculus, the brachii, that is superior inferior brachium. Now collectively the colliculi are referred to as the corpora quadrigemina. So you can see four colliculi. Corporis means body, So as if these are four bodies, globular bodies. So four, therefore quadri, corpora is bodies. So corpora, quadri, gemina. So remember now is one important concept coming up. Superior colliculars is related to the visual pathway. So I had said in the earlier slide, which has been posted by Dr. Rakia, that superior colliculus is connected through superior brachium to lateral geniculate body. Therefore, lateral geniculate body is in the process of eye movements. Inferior colliculus with the inferior brachium is connected to the medial geniculate body, so it is for auditory processing. Furthermore, I would like you to understand little easily, that is, see, the superior most part of the midbrain is bounded by the optic chiasma, optic pathway. Superior brachium is just adjacent to it. Therefore, superior brachium having the lateral geniculate body will be for the optic pathway. Therefore, the rest is the inferior brachium, which is automatically will be for the auditory pathway. This is for your understanding purpose. Now, if we go to the parts of interior of midbrain, you will find that the internal structure has the tectum, and then in the center we have the cerebral aqueduct, then inferiorly is the tegmentum, the crus cerebri, and between the crus cerebri and the tegmentum we have the substantia nigra. Now together we have called this as the cerebral peduncle. So cerebral peduncle is composed of tegmentum, substantia nigra and the crus cerebri. Understood? So it is one of the important MCQs that cerebral peduncle is composed of A, tegmentum, B, tectum. All the following structures are forming the cerebral peduncle except tegmentum, substantia nigra, crus cerebri, tectum, delete tectum. Now, therefore, what you can see here is midbrain has tectum, cerebral peduncle. Cerebral peduncle has the tegmentum, crus cerebri and substantia nigra in between. Tectum has the superior inferior colliculus. Now, in this schematic diagram, I would like you to again add on your own that superior colliculus is with lateral geniculate body for the visual pathway. Inferior colliculus is with the medial geniculate body for the auditory pathway. These are all very important MCQs. Now, coming to the, you know, there are certain diagrams which you need to know. That is, one is the sagittal section of the brainstem. So if you come here, you can see that I have focused on the cerebral aqueduct in between. Now I will do with this in more details when I do cerebellum and fourth ventricle with you. Now coming to the tegmentum. Tegmentum is the first cerebral peduncle is composed of tegmentum, substantia nigra and crus cerebri. So automatically you can get either a short note on cerebral peduncle or you can get a short note on any of these parts. Now tegmentum is nothing but a covering. Covering adjacent to what? Adjacent to tectum. So it is flanked on one side by the substantia nigra, on the other side by the tectum, and in between is the cerebral aqueduct. So there is a ventricular system in between. Now, if we come to the third and fourth nerves are located in the tegmental portion of the midbrain. Therefore, you can see that the you have now identified where the oculomotor and the trochlear will be located. So, my dear students, remember, midbrain, what are the things till now we have done? Anteriorly, you will get the optic chiasma. Then you will get the interpeduncular fossa, then you will get the crus cerebri, then you will get two important nerves, On the dorsal surface, you will get the superior inferior colliculus. Superior colliculus through superior brachium will be lateral geniculate body, the vision pathway. Inferior colliculus through the inferior brachium, the medial geniculate body, the auditory pathway. So we have done till now this much. So coming to the cerebral peduncle, I'm sure you can understand now because I'm going one after another the slides. Now see, the cerebral peduncle is nothing but it's a region which is actually the tegmentum, substantia nigra and the crus cerebri. So it contains efferent fibers, crus cerebri or the base pedunculi. Now my dear students, if you remember crus cerebri, it will be enough. I will just touch upon the substantia nigra, which is nothing but a thin band of gray matter which is pigmented between the tegmentum and the crus cerebri. Now this thin band of gray matter contains melanin and iron. This is what is most important, that because this is basically intensely pigmented nerve cells, and which is more related to dopamine, and it includes melanin, that is the polymerized which creates dopamine, and iron. Therefore it is basically an area, you can see it is gray. This gray is due to the iron and the melanin pigmentation, which is hence forming the dopamine. Now so you can understand that substantia nigra is a pigmented layer of melanin granules, and this is basically having a zona compacta and reticulata. Now my dear students, you for the time being, if you can just remember substantia nigra, that will be enough, because in physiology you must have read how dopamine is secreted and what is the function of dopamine, because it has a big role in the Parkinsonism. What is Parkinson's disease? Please read, because it is very important from the clinical point of view. Now this is actually concerned with the motor control of our body. Now coming to the interior of midbrain. Now interior of midbrain is basically nothing but this crus cerebri, substantia nigra, tegmentum, tectum, and in between cerebral aqueduct. You have the olfactory and the trochlear nerves, and anteriorly is the you have the optic chiasma. Now you have to practice two diagrams. Snell gives beautiful picture, one at the level of inferior colliculus and the other at the level of superior colliculus. Therefore what are the four diagrams I have said? One is the ventral surface, the other is the dorsal surface, the other is the level of inferior colliculus, the other is the level of superior colliculus. So at the level of inferior colliculus, you will find certain cavity, nuclei, motor tracts and sensory tracts. Now, so you will get the trochlear nerve and the mesencephalic nucleus of the trigeminal nerve. Now, in this, next is the, you will see where is this mesencephalic nucleus located, at the lateral border of the central gray matter. Now, so you have seen the inferior colliculus on the dorsal surface. Now, you will see the decussation of the superior cerebellar peduncles, the lemnisci, and that is from medial to lateral. Please remember this. The medial lemniscus, trigeminal lemniscus, spinal lemniscus and lateral lemniscus, that is MTSL. So you start from medial to lateral at the medial, trigeminal, spinal and lateral. Now coming to the next diagram, that is midbrain at inferior colliculus. So look at the area anterior to the substantia nigra, the tegmentum part, where you can identify the medial lemniscus, the trigeminal, the spinal and the lateral lemniscus, which is adjacent to the nucleus of inferior colliculus. And around the central cerebral aqueduct, you can see the mesencephalic nucleus of trigeminal nerve. Inferiorly is the trochlear nerve nucleus. Let us concentrate on the crus cerebri. On the crus cerebri, you can see again from medial to lateral, you can see the frontopontine fibers, the corticonuclear and corticospinal fibers of the pyramidal tract, and the temporopontine, parietopontine and occipitopontine fibers. Therefore, you have to remember how beautifully this has been done. Medial 1/6, lateral 1/6 and middle 2/3. Now, when you draw a diagram, try to maintain this medial 1/6, lateral 1/6 and middle 2/3, because middle 2/3 is containing the corticonuclear and corticospinal fibers of the pyramidal tract. Therefore, this inferior colliculus is very important. So, how do we deduct marks or how do we give bonus marks? Now, when you draw the inferior colliculus, quickly draw all the four lemnisci. That is, to start from inferior colliculus, lateral spinal, trigeminal and medial. Then, you quickly draw the aqueduct. By the side of the aqueduct is the mesencephalic nucleus of trigeminal. Inferiorly, at the end of the aqueduct, you draw the trochlear nerve nucleus. Now, there is a looping of the nerve around the cerebral aqueduct. Then, you draw the substantia nigra. Then, at the caudal aspect, you will draw the crus cerebri, divide it as the medial lateral 1/6 and middle 2/3. Middle 2/3 is for the corticospinal and the corticonuclear fibers of pyramidal tract. Medial 1/6 is for frontopontine and lateral 1/6 is for temporopontine, parietopontine and occipitopontine. And in adjacent to the substantia nigra in the central part, there is decussation of the superior cerebellar peduncles. We will see which fibers pass through these cerebellar peduncles when we do cerebellum. Now, coming to the midbrain at the superior colliculus, you will see the oculomotor nerve nuclear complex, emergence of the oculomotor nerve, red nucleus, dorsal tegmental decussation, tectospinal tract and rubrospinal tract. Now, what are these? Now, let us look at the bigger diagram for the superior colliculus. Now, my dear students, you will never understand if you don't have the PPT made by Dr. Ratia in hand. So, you can see the nucleus of the superior colliculus. Then, just adjacent to it, you can see the pretectal nucleus. Again, draw the lemnisci, that is medial, trigeminal and spinal. The last is the lateral nucleus, lemniscus, which is adjacent to the inferior colliculus, will not be seen because you are now dealing at a superior level. So, it is the midbrain at the superior colliculus. So, you can see the oculomotor nerve nucleus and then you will see the red nucleus. Red nucleus, where will you see? You will see adjacent to the substantia nigra. Therefore, here you will again see how beautifully from the inferior aspect of the cerebral aqueduct, the oculomotor nerve is coming out. Now, here you are finding the ventral tegmental decussation of 4L. You can forget all these. So, what are the must diagram part for your inferior colliculus? Students, please write down. Because you have to draw the inferior colliculus, then all the four lemniscus, then the trochlear nerve nucleus and the path, the trigeminal nerve nucleus, the three crus cerebri, substantia nigra, and the decussation of superior cerebellar peduncles. Now coming to the superior colliculus, I want you to draw all the three lemniscae except the lateral lemniscus, which is adjacent to the inferior colliculus. This is at the level of superior colliculus, so automatically you will not be able to see it. You will be set at the adjacent to the aqueduct, you will see the medial longitudinal fasciculus and the oculomotor nerve nucleus. You will be definitely labeling the red nucleus, because here we are concerned with the rubrospinal tract, and the tectospinal tract is the dorsal tegmental decussation. So the tectospinal tract, so definitely the dorsal and the ventral tegmental decussation, please you have to write and draw. Now ventral decussation of 4L you can forget, and dorsal decussation of Meynert you can forget. Now coming to the gray matter. The gray matter therefore has the oculomotor nerve nucleus and the mesencephalic nucleus of the trigeminal nerve. Besides this, you have the nucleus of superior colliculus, you have pretectal nucleus, you have the red nucleus. What is this red nucleus? It is in the tegmentum, and it's a significant nucleus for the extrapyramidal system. Now this red nucleus and substantia nigra, if you see, they are side by side. They are with the extrapyramidal motor system. Substantia nigra, what did I tell? It was containing the melanin and the iron, and was concerned with the production of the dopamine, and therefore had a big role to play in the Parkinsonism. Now besides this, we have the corticospinal tract, which we have seen in the crus cerebri. Now coming to the pathway for red nucleus. Now red nucleus, what did we read? Rubrospinal tract. So red nucleus is definitely connected with the spinal pathway. Now they do not project to the spinal cord directly, but from the motor cortex to the cerebellum through the inferior olivary complex, it is in the spinal pathway. Now coming to the white matter, you know, the dorsal and the ventral tegmental decussation, the medial longitudinal fasciculus and the lemniscae. For superior colliculus, there are 3 lemniscae. For inferior colliculus, there are 4 lemniscae. Now, what are the white matter or the main tracts? So you can see the crus cerebri with the dentatorubrothalamic fibers, the medial longitudinal fasciculus, the spinothalamic tract, and the medial lemniscus. Now coming to the crus cerebri, corticopontine, corticospinal fibers, temporopontine fibers. So please practice a short note of the crus cerebri. Therefore, what are the main tracts you saw? You saw sensory fibers from trigeminal, spinal medial, lateral lemniscae, decussation of superior cerebellar peduncle. You saw the motor fibers, corticospinal, corticonuclear, temporopontine, frontopontine, medial longitudinal fasciculus. So, what does spinothalamic tract convey? Pain, temperature, touch pressure. Medial lemniscus, from the gracile and cuneate nuclei to the thalamus. The medial longitudinal fasciculus connects the cranial nerve nuclei of the 3rd, 4th and 6th nerve. So, these are more concerned with the frontal eye field area and vestibulocochlear nerve. Therefore, these are actually concerned with, it integrates the movements. You listen to a sound, you are listening to the sound, and suppose somebody enters your room, you will of course see it through your eye field. Therefore, it is uniting the frontal eye field area with the head movement through the vestibulocochlear nerve. Therefore, this actually, the medial longitudinal fasciculus organizes the movements of eyes, head, neck in response to stimulation of the vestibulocochlear nerve. I rather say that it actually coordinates the movements of the eyes with the head and neck. You turn your head. There's a sound, you turn your head. You see through the eyes. You hear through the ears. So vestibular cochlear nerve with the movement of the head and neck with the turning of the eyes. This is a coordinated movement. Now coming to the blood supply. Blood supply is by posterior cerebral, superior cerebellar, posterior communicating artery. Now the blood supply of midbrain is basically, I will ask you that you rather remember the three arteries, posterior cerebral, posterior communicating and the superior cerebellar artery. Okay, now there are three syndromes: Weber syndrome, Benedict syndrome and Peyronnet syndrome. Now Weber syndrome is basically the damage to the cerebral peduncle. Now in the slide you can PPT, you can see beautifully how the where the damage exactly is, and so you definitely know what are the pathways or the fibers which will be affected by this damage. But to if we go little bit in the detail part, you will see that these are the three areas, where these are the three parts which are leading to a vascular lesion. And oculomotor nerve is damaged, there is corticospinal fiber damage, so hemiplegia, and third nerve is damaged, so pupil dilated and fixed. So my dear students, draw the diagram for Weber syndrome and see what are the fibers which can get potentially damaged by this. Similarly, coming to Benedict syndrome, that is affecting the tegmentum of the midbrain, so it will cause the oculomotor nerve damage again. The spinal and trigeminal lemnisci get damaged, so loss of pain and temperature. Then the medial lemniscus is also damaged, so there is discriminative touch, pressure, vibration and position. What do you mean by the word discriminative touch? Now take a, if you take a, the dividers which we used to use in the geometry class, or the compass. So even if you take two pointed, equally sharp needles and touch at two points, ask your patient to close eyes. The patient should be able to say where exactly you have touched. But if this is missing, that is, there is a discriminative touch, the fibers are damaged. So this is the function for the medial lemniscus. Involuntary movements and tremors, that is rubrospinal tract adjacent to the substantia nigra. So automatically substantia nigra being concerned with the dopamine fibers, which is a main component for the which being affected can lead to Parkinsonism, can lead to tremors and involuntary movements. So my dear students, again draw this diagram to see all by yourself where exactly the lesion is and what are the fibers being affected. And so automatically it's like a mathematical calculation. You can write down 1, 2, 3, 4, what are the things which has happened. Peyronnet syndrome is lesion of superior colliculus. So you know, once the superior colliculus is affected, it can be damaged by the lesion of the pineal gland, and there will be a difficulty in the upward gaze. Why? Because superior colliculus, superior brachium, lateral geniculate body, visual pathway. Nothing is absolutely difficult at all. I don't know why you people had a difficulty in PPT and were asking for Zoom. It is basically you go through one by one. If you need a podcast for the other your pons and medulla, I'm ready to give you on Monday, by Monday, Tuesday, you will get the entire brainstem podcast. Only work you need to do is open your PowerPoint, which has been posted, and go one by one, because I have taken each PowerPoint and have narrated to you. Now I have come to the 43rd PowerPoint, which says task for you. So you need to draw these two diagrams, and you post these diagrams either to Dr. Rathia's mail or to the WhatsApp group or to Google group. But my dear students, please understand, cheating will not help you, because even if you cheat, it is your learning what matters. So ultimately, you are not learning anything. Therefore, you are supposed to draw the midbrain at in the 44th slide. Sir has beautifully drawn, presented the inferior colliculus, what are the things you are going to see here, and in the 45th slide, sir has given the superior colliculus, where exactly you can see what are the lemniscae, how it is being damaged, and what are the labelings you have to do. So he has already given certain YouTube's connect links, you can see. But what I shall suggest is you take his slides, take the podcast, read it, open your book. I don't think it's at all difficult. Thank you so much. Happy reading. Bye.